the fog's clearing outside, but it's quite here. Yeah, you know, there is there's something about home, isn't there? You know, if you remember, some of you remember, not all of you had the opportunity, but remember that when your baby was born, and you know we're excited, we wait on that, but I hear it all the time. So you can't wait to get that baby home. Remember, and that's what I'll go visit couples, and they say, we're just anxious to go home, and they've got probably fixed up this room with crib and all that in, but they're not going to go in the crib. They're going to go in the bassinet right by the bed. But that's the thing. And some of you walked that experience where maybe you had a baby that was born with some complications, and so it took a week or two, and it was just it was almost unbearable because you just there until you had them home, things weren't right, you know. And so you were just so excited about that and anxious for that day to happen. You know, some of you have been in the hospital, and I'll visit people in the hospital. And as sick as there are, it's kind of like, I just want to go home. You know, I want to go home. And so you want to get into your home, to your own chair, to your own remote, to your own coffee, whatever it is, but I need to get home because that's where I am. Even vacations, you know, most of us like to take a vacation, but, you know, that's good for a few days, and then we want to go home. We want to get back home, and we're anxious to get back there, and, of course, then we get home, and remember, we got to go to work Monday, and it's like, oh, wait a minute there. I forgot about that part of it, but there's just something about this whole thing called home, and we're going to spend some time talking about that, but, you know, Jesus talked about home with his disciples, and in the context of this passage that we've looked at before, but we're going to begin with this today. In the context, it was he starts off. He says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled." They're very concerned. They're upset right now because he's been talking to them about the fact that he's going to be leaving them. And that's got them upset. That's not what they thought was going to happen, for one thing. Their perspective, because they'd only paid attention to part of Scripture, was that when the king came, the Messiah, which they were finally understanding, at least up until the cross, then they kind of had to regroup. But they're starting to think Jesus is the Messiah. But in their perspective, the Scripture they'd always looked at was, he's going to come here, he's going to set up this kingdom, and he's going to help us overthrow the people that are ruling over us and running our lives right now. And now he's talking about leading them. And so they're really struggling with this whole perspective of the things that he is saying. And he says to them, he says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust God and trust in me. But then he says, here's what should cause you to be able to relax in the middle of your circumstances, in the middle of things that I've just told you, in the middle of what's about to happen, here's what should cause you to have this peace so that you can not be troubled is I got a place for you. I'm going to prepare this place for you, and that's why I'm going. And someday I'm going to come and get you, and you're going to go with me. And so it's this place that is our home that he's gone to prepare. And he talks about this, and you know, I kind of imagine it this way. And if you've invited Jesus Christ to be your Savior, and you know, we hear that language, we talk about those kind of phrases, we use that a lot in the church. What we mean by that is simply that what we understand, what we know from Scripture, in fact, what we know from our lives is that we have a sin problem. And you know, it's interesting. We in the love and respect thing that I do with couples sometimes, Dr. Eriks talks about his mom, and that his mom was a pretty good person, and Dr. Eriks is the first one in his family that came to know the Lord. And so he's talked to his family, and one by one they came to the Lord. But his mom, when he would talk to her, she kind of had this perspective. She said, "I don't really see myself as a sinner." And she says, "I haven't, you know, I'm a decent person. I'm nice to people. I'm not a cheat. I'm, you know." And he was having a hard time getting her to comprehend this idea of of sin. And one time she had a friend that was talking to her. This friend said to her, would you say that your life, for the most part, you've lived it in a way that kind of ignored God, that really didn't have God as a part of it? And she said, well, yeah, I guess so. I really haven't paid much attention to God. She says, wouldn't you think that would be something that would be hurtful to God's heart? If your son chose to say, I know you're my mom, but I don't really have anything to do with you because I want to live my own life, would you take that as an affront? And she said, well, yeah, I guess I would. And she says, well, that's what sin is. Sin is whatever it is, those things that are contrary to the heart of God for us. And she said, well, I guess when you explain it that way, yeah, I'm a sinner. And that's what the Bible says about us. So we come to this point where we know we need someone to save us from the ramifications or results of our sins. And that's why God sent his son to this earth, to pay the penalty of our sins so we wouldn't have to. And so if you made that decision, here's how I kind of imagine it. So understand this. I can't point to a verse per se, but I kind of see, there's this old song that says, I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. Some of you remember that? Well, that's a cool song, but that's not really what the Bible says. It says, I have a room in God's mansion. And honestly, I like that idea a lot better. I don't want my own mansion over on a hilltop. I like this idea. And so I kind of see it this way. So the Bible says, for God so loved the world. So in this mansion, there are so many rooms, and every single room has a nameplate on it. And every one of these nameplates is covered up right now until you come to that point where you say, oh, I need a Savior, and you accept that forgiveness God's offered. And then he sends an angel down, and he takes off the cover, and there's your name and your room, and he's got it ready for you. And he says, here it is. It's your home. And someday you're going to move in. And I don't know what your room has in it. I have imagination of what my mind does. And then he goes on and he tells us about what do we know about that room? What do we know about our home? He says, well, I'll tell you this much, Paul says. He says, and we're going to get into why he makes this kind of a statement. He says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Really? There's nothing that you and I have seen or heard that even compares?
Thank you.
have seen. There's nothing in this world. Not the most beautiful flower bed you've ever seen, those fields of tulips. Not the canyon in Arizona. Nothing you and I have ever seen in this world compares to your home and my home. No ear is heard. Not that first time you heard that baby cry, remember? You know, the it's just been born and you're waiting because that's the sign that everything's okay. And so you kind of hold your breath for a moment, waiting to hear that cry. And finally it comes and you know, okay, everything's all right. Or the first time they say mommy or daddy, you know, you've been practicing, you've been working on it, and there's the competition going on between mom and dad of which name's going to come out first, and then it finally happens. Nothing we've ever heard compares to the sounds of your home. Not the most beautiful orchestra, not your favorite band on the radio. None of it compares. Not that first time that person said to you, I love you, or that day when they choked out, I do, doesn't compare. There's nothing on this planet that compares to the sounds of your home. In fact, your mind and my mind can't even conceive of what our home is like, what God has planned for us, what's going to happen in the days ahead. That's what he's telling us about this. You know, it's interesting that Paul writes about this because I think Paul gives us an indication of why he says this so matter-of-factly. Because you go back, well, I got ahead of myself here. Remember that show, I don't know, is it still on? Extreme Home Makeover, remember that show? I haven't seen it for a while, and I quit watching. I'll tell you why in a moment. But here's the context of the show. It was that where they would move in, and there was a family that was struggling for whatever reason. It could be the dad or the mom had passed away, or they had a disabled child, and so they had gotten word because people would submit names, and so they go in, and the show for the week would be they go into this family, and they're struggling, and financially they're hurting, and they're usually living in a home that's not adequate at all for the family, and so they go in and they send the family on a vacation for a week or so, and while they worked on their house, and you remember you'd follow the show and you'd see them begin to dismantle this house. Sometimes it was the house, sometimes it was adding on, but you'd watch this show and you watch them as they began to work on it and fix it, and they had a time frame, and so, you know, they build up the anticipation, and then finally after, you know, the time would come, and you've gotten bits and pieces. You have a little bit of an idea of what's been done, but you haven't seen the final product, and certainly the family hasn't, but they bring the family back, and usually they had like a semi-trailer blocking the view of the house, or a great big sign, or somehow so that this family couldn't see it, and they'd bring them in, and they'd put them, and here's this trailer in front of them, and at the right time, then they would pull the truck out of the way, and they'd see their home for the first time, and every time they'd go, Love and Respect, again, Doc Edrick talks about that time when we get to heaven, and he says it's this everlasting, because I finally saw it, and I couldn't even imagine it, and you see it too for the first time, and you're like, wow, I can't believe it, and then they start crying, and then I start crying, which is why I quit watching the show, so, but it doesn't compare to your home. Into my home. And that's why he says, don't let your hearts be troubled. It is such a wonderful place that if we even get a little perspective of it, it takes the trouble away. We recognize it's the mist that Mark talked about a moment ago. We're in that mist, and it's okay, because I'm going to be home soon. And I'm anxious to be home. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, because Paul gives us some insight into why he can be so matter-of-fact about these kind of comments he's made that we just looked at in 1 Corinthians. Because something happened to him, and he shares it in this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He talks about, and it's interesting how he begins this. He says I know a man. Well, we find out that, yeah, he does. It's him, you know, later on. And you read down through the chapter and you find out, okay, he's talking about himself. But and so you ask yourself, why did he do it that way? Well, I think it has to do with the context of what it is that he experienced. He says, I know this man who 14 years ago, and actually 14 years ago would have been prior to his writing even the first letter to the Corinthian church. So when he writes in 1 Corinthians, that first letter, those words that we read a moment ago where he says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor can the mind conceive what God has in mind for you and I, our home, this experience he's sharing happened even prior to that. So he says, I know a man who 14 years ago was caught up into the third heaven, to heaven, to the heaven we're talking about. He says, whether he's in the body or out of the body, I don't know. Paul said, I'm not sure how this all happened. I don't know. Was I asleep and God took me in my dream? Was it a vision? Did he literally take my body up there? I can't tell you exactly how that took place. All I can tell you is I was there. I was there. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise. Remember when Jesus is hanging on the cross and the one thief curses him and rejects him, but the other thief looks at him and understands, I need a Savior. And he says, will you remember to me? And Jesus says, today you're going to be with me in paradise. He's caught up in heaven. This man was, and he heard inexpressible things a man is not permitted to tell. This is really amazing to me, because and I missed this for a while, but notice he says, I heard inexpressible things. He's not even talking about what he saw. In fact, I think it's like, we'll talk about it in a moment. It's like, there's no reason even to try to tell you that. I can't tell you that, but I will tell you even the things, even just the sounds of home, of heaven. I can't express to you what those sounds are like. They're amazing. Just the sounds alone are more than you and I can comprehend, and have an impact on us, and had an impact on him in a way that he says it's just inexpressible. I can't express it. I can't explain it to you. In fact, it says things that a man is not permitted to tell. And I don't think he's saying that from the context of because it'll do something bad to you if you hear it. No, it's the context of God saying, no. That's for the future. This is that ah moment, and it's going to happen someday, but don't even try to explain it, because you're not going to do a good enough job. So when you get back to heaven and when I allow you to write about this, I don't want you to try to, this is inexpressible. And whatever way you try to explain it, it's not going to be good enough, and you're going to mess it up. So don't tell anybody. They're going to get to hear from themselves someday, because they're going to go home. Paul says, that's why I share this. That's why I know this. Well, we find out it had such an impact on him, on Paul, that he writes a few verses later, he says, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassing great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh. And we talked about that a while back. We looked through this section of Scripture. But Paul says, you know, what I heard and what I saw was so amazing and so wonderful that God knew it was going to go to my head. He just knew I would get a big head about this, because I got to see it, and I would be the spokesperson for, you know, I don't know about heaven, you need to come. In fact, maybe he was afraid I'd start selling tickets, you know, if you pay me enough money. And he said, and that's actually, to tell you the truth, this is what's always concerned me about a couple of the books that have come out in recent years where people said they went to heaven. I'm thinking, oh, wait a minute, God didn't let Paul tell about this. Why is he letting them do it and make money off of it? And Paul says, no, I wasn't allowed. In fact, God knew that I needed to be humbled. Just from the opportunity, for whatever minutes I was allowed to be there, it was going to go to my head, and I needed to be humbled. I needed to be brought back down to earth, because there's still a lot that he wanted me to do. That's how amazing your home is, and how amazing my home is. And that's what we're going to spend the next few weeks talking about. Because, you know, it's interesting. Paul has just said that no eye has seen, no ear has heard. We read that a few moments ago. No mind can see what God has prepared for those who love him. But it goes on. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. God has given you and I some information. He wants us to have a perspective. You'll never comprehend it. I won't either till we get there. Someday you're going to get to see your room and your name's on it. I don't know if I have your name on it or not, but that's the way I picture it. And you're going to go, oh. And it's coming. And he says, but I'm going to give you some information. And we're going to look at that information in these next few weeks. But why is this even an important conversation? When we go back to those opening words, he says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Once we begin to comprehend just a little bit about what God has planned for us, it changes our perspective on everything. It relaxes us. It gives us confidence if we trust God. Remember, that's how I said it. Trust me. Trust God. Trust the Father. Trust me. And so that's why this is so important. You know, it's interesting. Paul, and I don't know that I understood this as a young man. And I don't know if it's age or if it's just I spent enough time in the Word. But Paul makes the statement one time. He said, I'm really torn. Remember that statement? I'm torn because if I had my rethers, what I really would want to do today is I'm ready to go home. Home. I want to go to heaven. At the same time, I feel like I need to be here for you right now. And so I'm torn between the two. Is that your perspective? If you were in your honest, most honest moment, if I were to ask you, how do you feel about the day when you leave this body and go to heaven? How do you feel about that? Would you honestly say, I am so anxious for that day to come? I'm glad to be here for now. I want to serve God, and I enjoy my loved ones, but I can't wait for that day to come. I suspect a lot of us wouldn't make that statement. And the reality is because we don't really understand home. Or I hear people talk about a loved one that they know is in heaven because they know they had that relationship with God. And they say, I just wish they were here. And I'm thinking, no, you don't. Not if you understand. You would never wish that in a million years for them to be back here. So we need to have a perspective of home. And I'm not sure we always do, but we do. We need to because it'll change how we think about everything else. I love this statement by John Burke in Imagine Heaven is the name of the book. So how you think about heaven affects everything in life. How you prioritize love, how willing you are to sacrifice for the long term, how you view suffering, what you fear and don't fear. How we view heaven affects everything. You know, we say that one of our core values here at True North Church is invite. And certainly part of that in our perspective is we hope that we're the kind of church family that you feel comfortable inviting others to, that you know that they could come here and we would love them love on them, and they'd be safe, and we'd minister to them, and we'd be that kind of a church. But the big part of invite is we hope that you're so excited about what God is doing in your life and what he has planned for your future, and especially about home, that you feel it a necessity to invite others. You need to know about my Lord, because let me just tell you, once you get to know him, destiny changes. And you get a room in his house, all for you. And he says he will never leave you or forsake you, becomes a part of your life. And so I want to invite you to get to know my Lord because he loves you very much. So we're going to spend some time looking at God's word and the things he told us that he wanted us to know about your home and mine. Pray with me, won't you, that God opens up our eyes and that we walk away from this time, these next few messages, changed because we can't wait to get home. Father, thank you. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for home. We're so excited. And just, Lord, my prayer all week long as I was studying these verses and looking at the passage we're going to be looking at in the days ahead was, Lord, how do I make something that the Apostle Paul said is inexpressible? In fact, he said even just the sounds of our home can't be described. How do I make us get thirsty for what you have planned for us? The reality is, Lord, I believe you've created in every one of us a longing for home. That's why we find this world so dissatisfying. That's why it just never seems to quite fulfill what we're longing for in our heart is because this isn't our home. And especially those who have stepped into a relationship with you by inviting your son to forgive their sins. We're not home. Lord, I want us to be so anxious for home and so excited about your plans for us that while we're here, our hearts are not troubled. Guide us as we walk through this together. We pray these things in your son's name. Amen.
Let's stand as we close this morning.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know the saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust trust him more.
Oh, how sweet.
Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in sin.
So glad.
I'm so glad I learned to trust precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that thou art with me, will be with me too.
One more time.
Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him Lord. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust.
Have a great Sunday. We will see you next time.